here we go. It was the Sabbath, just like many other Sabbath days, and the old woman was making her way to the synagogue. She'd set off early because it took her a while to get there. Her back was very bent. It could have been age, it could have been illness. It didn't matter. It hurt sometimes, but not all the time. But it did give her a pain in the neck if she had to look up for very long. But she knew the way to the synagogue, so she only had to look up every now and again to check that she was headed in the right direction. She was very good at spotting the good ruts that the cartwheels had left in the road. She was always looking down. Every now and again, she spotted someone staring at her. But most of the people in her village knew her and her situation by now, so they'd stop pointing and making fun of her. But it had been pretty unpleasant for a while. It seemed that there was no man to look after her. She was going on her own. If there had been a man around in that time, place in society, it would have been very important. He would have sorted her out. He'd have made sure she'd had food and probably would have gone to the synagogue with her. But as she approached the synagogue, her spirits lifted. The people there were very kind to her and helped her out. She went in. It's busier than usual because a lively young rabbi was teaching. People had heard about him from others in the neighboring villages, and they were all anxious to hear what he had to say, especially because sometimes he seemed to have a go at the synagogue leaders. They were rule keepers extraordinaire. It was hard for her to look up for any length of time, but she glimpsed Jesus, and then she took her place among the others, listening carefully to what he said. Suddenly, she thought she could hear him calling her out in the crowd, but how could that be? But people around her urged her forward. She could just have a little peer out, and she could see that they'd cleared a path up to where he was standing. What could he want with her? He didn't even know her. When she got to the place where Jesus was standing, she tilted her head for a second. He looked straight at her and said, "Woman," because he didn't know her name, he just saw her need. "You are set free from your infirmity." She could feel him put his hands on her shoulders, and all of a sudden, she had the urge to straighten up, to straighten her back, a sensation she'd known long ago, but rarely in these past 18 years. She stretched her back. Usually, she couldn't do it very far, but this time, it was one of Jesus' healing miracles. She stood fully upright. The stiffness and the restriction in her back had gone. That was just amazing. She was using all these things in her body in a way she'd not used them for years. She was so surprised and so pleased that praise and thankfulness just tumbled out of her spirit and out of her mouth as she praised and thanked Jesus, praised God. Everyone else in the synagogue could see what had happened. And most were amazed too and simply joined in. Some were saying to each other, "How can this be? What power does this man Jesus have? Where does this power come from?" But amazement and joy at the moment of release from her bent over state swept through the room, except for the synagogue leaders. They drew themselves to their full height, and in a loud voice, which boomed over the excited exclamations of the crowd, one of them said, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days and not on the Sabbath." Then Jesus spoke. What would he say? He was just a young visiting rabbi. What right had he to call out the synagogue leaders who'd been there for years? As he spoke, their mouths fell open. "You hypocrites," he said, turning to the leaders. "Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox and donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water?" The scholars, the students of the scriptures, were amazed. Jesus was acknowledging the rules of the Sabbath, but he knew the very fine detail that was written there too. No work on the Sabbath, so no burdens for the animals to carry. But it was okay for them to be untied and taken to a place where they could have a drink of water. Jesus went on, "Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" More amazement at Jesus' words. The synagogue authorities were amazed that Jesus should refer to the woman as a daughter of Abraham. In a way, that was the ultimate insult. A daughter of the covenant people, just as they were, not an outcast, as they had regarded her. That was hard to hear. And then Jesus said something about her infirmity as having come from Satan. They knew Jesus sometimes drove out evil spirits from people, but this wasn't quite the same thing. But still, it wasn't how people were created to live. It wasn't how God wanted them to live when he created the world. So if you looked at it as an imperfection, it certainly wasn't what God would have wanted. But this was a world where there was opposition, where there was imperfection. And this illness had crept in. And if an ox or a donkey could be led to real water on the Sabbath, how much more appropriate was it that this bent-up woman should be unbound, untied from her affliction, to be led to the source of living water, as Jesus would say to the woman, the Samaritan woman that he met at the well. This was going to be living water, not just for this life to unbend her, but for eternal life. The woman wasn't sure that she understood the full meaning of what Jesus was saying. She just knew that she was full of praise and thanks to this young rabbi for healing her. She hadn't asked for it. He didn't even know her name, but he did it, and he had warmed her heart. Well, the synagogue leaders understood what Jesus had said. He'd really put them down, not by force or insults, but because he was really clever. He was quick-witted, and he knew the teachings back to front. They were humiliated, but the people were delighted, probably at the put-down of the leaders, but also at the healing, which was another thing to be added to the list of insightful things that Jesus had already taught, and the miracles that he had done already, like raising another dead girl, and healing another sick woman, and feeding 5,000 people from 5 loaves and 2 fish. This list of his miracles was growing. I wonder what effect all this had on the regular synagogue attendees that day. Did they accept the miracle and simply praise God? Did they try to puzzle out what was going on and where the power was behind it all? Were they cross because this upstart man had made their local leaders look silly? It certainly showed Jesus' compassion for people afflicted with hardship and his power to heal. It showed that while he criticized the synagogue rulers, he did it on this occasion certainly from within the Jewish teachings. And it did show, too, that there were different interpretations of the teachings. It's quite interesting this morning listening to Radio 4. There's a program on early in the morning, and they were talking about the cantors, the singers in the Jewish synagogues, and they were saying that the way the words are written means that there is room for interpretation. And so one person might interpret a scripture in one way, another in a slightly different way. All comes from the scripture. So interesting that those points of interpretation are issues then, and their issues now. And I think we would recognize it too, because we have many different Christian denominations in Tamworth. Which one is right? Does anyone have it all right? What about issues that weren't mentioned in the society in which Jesus lived? Issues around things like gender identity or developments in medical science? The ethical issues around those? Environmental concerns and ways of dealing with them? Responding requires what Jesus had done, study of scripture and study of the issues, not to mention time spent in prayer to hear God's word, to hear what God is wanting us individually to do, because he's not going to want us all to do the same thing. It's not easy, and personally I find it as a real challenge trying to fathom out these points. It takes time, it takes effort. But you know, what's amazing, sometimes God just overrides all that, steps into the middle of the situation. Just like he did for that bent woman. She was just there. She was sitting, you know, over there, over there, over there. And he just called her out and healed her. That was it. Didn't know her. She wasn't expecting it. She hadn't even asked for it. Might not have even crossed her mind. She'd lived with this for 18 years. And she probably thought, oh yeah, I'm just going to have to put up with this. I'll get on with it. What an amazing thing. So when God steps in, It must have been quite incredible. Now, we don't know if there were others in the crowd that day who needed healing. Maybe they did. Maybe he healed them. Maybe it's simply not recorded. We don't know. But he did intervene for that woman, and he changed her life forever. Bring us back to the here and now. I'd like us all to reflect on the week which has just passed. Think about how God has blessed you. And if you think that all good things come from God, any good thing that has happened to you this week has been a blessing. And maybe it might be that you are facing great challenges this week, but I think even in those times, I know from my own experience, God is very close to us then. So just take a moment to think about it. If you'd like to, you can share that with your neighbor. How did God bless you this week? There we go. From the conversations and the smiles I see on people's faces, you've had moments when God intervened in your life, interrupted your daily flow, and maybe it wasn't being changed from bent to straight, but it was being given living water to help you on your way. So you might want to say after me, "Thank you, Lord."
Thank you, Lord.
Praise your name.
Praise your name.
Amen. I'm going to sing again. You have to talk amongst yourselves. You can keep sharing.